Welcome to the August 26th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, and the sermon is entitled, Walking in the Flesh, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
For so many years, I've needed to thank you for coming. Some of you walk across the street, but some of you drive 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 miles, 60 miles to come to church on Sunday morning. Thank you. God bless you. How much I and all of us appreciate that trip that you come to be with us at Clifford Church. And also, I want to take a moment to say thank you to all those who listen by media and radio. It is a rare week that goes by that I don't meet someone in the course of my travels who says, I listen to you every single day. What a blessing that is, that people are listening in to the services and the sermons of Clifford Church out there where they are in the work world and in their cars. And 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, when we signed up for that and they said, well, you're going to be on Equip FM, 5 a.m., 4 p.m., and 10 p.m., I thought not one person will be listening at 5 o'clock in the morning. But that's by far some of the most numerous group that I've heard from that says, I listen to you on my way to work. I listen to you when I'm walking in. It's amazing to me. One man said, I actually go in at 4:30 with my coffee, and I sit and wait for 5 o'clock to come so I can listen. Isn't that an amazing thing? But thank you, those of you who listen on radio and through media to worship services here. We're going to move ahead again, one more step in the great book of Galatians. I want you to turn with me to that little letter in your New Testament, Galatians. We are in chapter 5 today, so get your Bible open to Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible with you, if you'd like to turn, there are some Bibles in the pews, and you're certainly welcome to use those. This letter, of course, was written by the missionary Paul to churches in the province of Galatia, where Turkey sits today, a large land area. So this is not written to one church. This is written to many churches in one land area. And this letter was to be circulated through all of those churches. And this letter is so very important. And we realize where it comes from. It comes from a heart of love that Paul has for these churches. As an evangelist, he travels through the province of Galatia in the Roman Empire, and he preaches the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as Gentiles are saved, coming to Christ in faith, some of them never hearing the name before, but they come to Jesus in faith, in belief, and in trust. Paul takes those little groups of Christians that are in separate cities and communities throughout the province of Galatia, and he forms a church there. And as he gets that church on its feet, then he travels on as that pioneer missionary, moving on to the next location. In the province of Galatia, we know that there are a number of churches, certainly churches in cities such as Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and Antioch. But these churches had gotten into trouble. Here's the focus of the trouble. Paul had established them in Jesus Christ and faith alone. However, false teachers had crept into these churches after Paul had departed. They were called Judaizers. And these Judaizers had confused and mixed up these young Christians and these baby church bodies that were founded in faith in Jesus Christ, and they'd given them another doctrine. These Judaizers said, Paul is all wrong. Let us reteach you what is the truth. These false teachers said, you can come to Jesus as Savior, but you cannot come until you practice the Old Testament law of God. You have to live the law of dietary restriction. You have to live the law of animal sacrifice on the grounds of your church. Men, you have to live the law of God of circumcision before you can come to Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So they were mixing up these young church bodies by saying, live the law, then you can come to Christ in faith. In order to come to Jesus, you have to first live the law. So these baby churches were being misled and confused and mixed up in this message of law versus grace. Live the law, then you can come to the grace of Christ. Paul writes this letter, and he is angry, I believe, when he writes this letter. He's angry with these Judaizers. I won't refer back to what I told you last week, but you can tell that he is very angry with them. And as he is straightening the church out. He writes this letter of theology to get these young churches back on track, that it is simply and only by faith in Jesus that any person can be saved and given eternal life. So he's reteaching the Galatian churches the gospel: the just shall live by faith alone, period. Do we still stand on that truth? Absolutely. Do I hear an amen? The just shall live by faith in Christ. That is what brings salvation, eternal life, purpose for living every day that we have. That's the baseline message of the gospel. It has not changed in 2,000 years, and as long as God allows the earth to stand, it will not change, and it will not change throughout all of eternity. Paul uses this letter then to get these churches back on track in faith. Now, here's the big question. Let me ask you this. If God is a God of grace, if God is a God who wants us to come to Jesus in faith, why did he give us the law in the first place? If it really comes down to the truth of Jesus that we accept by faith, why do we have the law? Why do we see the law in the Old Testament? Well, that's a worthy question. Why does God give us rules and regulations and law in the Old Testament? I think there are three reasons. If you take notes, you might want to write down these three reasons why we have the Old Testament law still in our possession. First of all, God gave us the law so we would know how to honor Him and how to live with our neighbor. Let's take, for example, the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. The first four of the Ten Commandments teach us how to honor God. The remaining six commandments teach us how to live with our neighbor. And so we can see that the purpose of the law given to us by God is that we will learn how to honor Him and show Him His holiness, and then also to live with our neighbor. The second reason that God gave us His law is to show us that indeed you and I are sinners, that we fall short of His glory and short of His perfection. So the law of God then, as we read it, serves as a mirror. We see the perfection of God in His law. We read it, we try to live it, we realize that we cannot perfectly live God's law, and that says you and I are sinners. You might live 90% of the law, but if you break 10%, you're a sinner. You've broken it all. You can live all of the law except one. You break the one, you're a sinner. You've broken it all. So God's law convinces you and me of a very basic truth, and it's true for every person in the entire world, no matter the country they live in or who they are, and the truth is this: we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, second reason we have the law. Here's the third reason we have the law. God gave us the law to say this: over and above my law, over and above my rules, is a better way. It is the way of love. Law versus love. The better way is love. And this Old Testament law, what you know as your Old Testament, points over and over and over again to a coming Savior, that Savior of love, that Savior of grace. For example, one of the greatest passages of the Old Testament that points to the Savior is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This verse was written 800 years before Jesus came to a manger, but this is what it says: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." What kind of peace? If Jesus came 2,000 years ago, this world is still in turmoil. This world is still in war. Where's the peace? Here. The peace of God in our hearts. He's the Prince of the peace in our heart. The Savior. And the Old Testament over and over again points to that Savior. So there are three basic reasons God gives us His law. Just for a moment, let me kind of step off the path here and give you an example of law versus grace. In Exodus chapter 22, the law says this: if a man steals another man's ox or sheep and kills that animal, then there is a law of restitution. For the man who did the stealing and who killed that animal, he is to restore to the owner five oxen for the ox that he killed. He is to restore four sheep for the sheep that he killed. And the law goes on to say that if that thief is found with a living animal, if the ox is still alive or the sheep is still alive, he is still to pay restitution in doubling that which he stole. That's the law. That's what will make things right. But Jesus came to teach us a higher way, a way of love. And the way of love says this: if we know Christ as Savior and if His love reigns in us, there won't be a theft to begin with. So love overcomes and fulfills the law. The law teaches us, but the love of Christ shows us a better, higher way. Love fulfills the law. So in every human being, according to the Bible, there is a problem. All of us sin, all of us fall short of the glory of God, and all of us live in the flesh, is what the Bible says. Our human desires and our lusts clamor to be fulfilled. And you know, to follow our flesh is going to lead to trouble, because fleshly desires are self-centered. Fleshly desires center on our own will, what I want, what's going to please me. Those are fleshly desires. That brings us to today's passage, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 16 through 21. I'm going to break it into two parts, so keep your Bible open for the whole sermon. But I want us to begin with Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Do you want to hear the truth today? This is hard truth. This is the truth of God's Word. This is not the truth that a little country preacher made up. This is God's truth. This is God's Word. I'm simply the messenger. But this is what God says. A holy God, this is what He says. Galatians 5, look at verses 16 through 18. Hear this Word of God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Keep your Bible open. We'll move on. But let's talk about those three verses for a moment. Paul here describes a battle. And the battle is within every single person. No person is exempt from this battle of the flesh. Our fleshly will versus the will of God in us. The will of God intended for every single person. If we walk in our fleshly desires, Paul says, we will never be able to fulfill God's desire and God's plan and God's purpose for our life. We have to choose that purpose, or we choose to walk in our own will and in our own flesh. So every person in the world, every single person in the world will walk one of only two paths. There are only two. And every person will walk one of those two. You can't straddle and walk between them. You can't stretch your legs to walk in each one of them. You walk in one of the two alone. We will either walk in God's will, or we'll walk in our will. We'll either walk in our desire, or we'll walk in His desire for us. We will either choose our flesh, or we'll choose His Spirit. Which road will you walk on? There is the primary question of the gospel today. The good news for the day is, which road are you walking on? The flesh or the Spirit? Your will or God's will? Your plan or His plan? Which road do you walk on? It's a choice, and every single person has to make the choice. Look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If we walk in the Spirit of God, if we walk with Jesus leading us as our Savior, we will daily strive for a relationship of love with Him. And as we grow in our relationship of love with Him, it's going to change our interaction with the world, beginning with our family and the work world and the classroom and the Walmart world and the food line world and even the world of our enemies. It will make a difference if we walk in a relationship of love with Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And we're to grow every passing day in that maturity of walking with Him and growing with Him. That's called sanctification. You know, in biblical terms, justification is that moment that you give your heart to Jesus. You're justified once. You're eternally secure after you're justified, giving your heart to Jesus as Lord and Savior. But the path of sanctification is ongoing. Elizabeth Garland almost made 100 years. She was still in the path of sanctification at 99 plus. We never cease the pathway of growing in Christ's love. So we don't live by a set of stale rules and laws and regulations, but rather we live in a relationship. A relationship of a Savior who loves you so much that He died on the cross to atone and pay for your sin and my sin. A Savior who loves us so much that He rose from the grave to give us eternal life. That's the relationship we are to grow in, a relationship of love. But listen, in this little section that Paul writes that we're going to read through today, if you or I set aside God's Spirit, God's will, if we surrender our lives to the flesh, if we surrender to our own will and to our own selfishness, then our relationship with God Almighty is broken. Our covenant with Him is broken, and all kinds of trouble will erupt in life. Now, Paul gives a few examples of where life will go if we surrender in lostness to our flesh. And it's not pretty. Well, we're going to read it today because this indeed is the Word of God. So look at verses 19 through 21. Hear these words as we continue on. Verse 19, chapter 5 of Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Lost in these things. Lost without a Savior in the flesh. Well, let's go through these acts briefly, but let me cover them with you. Adultery and fornication. Well, adultery is sexual expression in addition to your marriage. Sexual expression outside of your covenant of marriage with someone else. Fornication is sexual expression as a single person outside of the covenant of marriage. Now, the world still sees adultery as wrong. I believe that in general, the world sees adulterous people as needing to straighten their lives out. Even the unsaved world, I believe, looks down on adultery. But fornication is another subject. I believe that the world outside these doors approves of the living together arrangement more and more and more. The Bible, according to what I just read you, calls it sin. That it is not a creation of God. It's a misuse of relationship. It's a misuse of how we're to be together as a man and a woman. Because marriage is the intended way that we come together as a man and a woman. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way, marriage is the intended way for a man and a woman to share life together as a couple. In America, since 1990, couples living together without marriage has risen 138%. I say that to say this to you. In 36 years as pastor here, I've seen the effects of that. I've seen the truth of that. It's a very mainstream concept now that living together is just something that happens in our society, and more it's becoming accepted practice for couples. In fact, I think that right now we're at the breaking point of married young couples and young couples who are not married but living together. We're almost at the 50-50 mark across America. Now, you can call me what you will. You can call me strict. You can call me old-fashioned. But I just want you to call me as adhering to the Word of God. And what the Word of God says, and this is the ultimate authority. I am not the ultimate authority. God Almighty is the authority. I am nothing more than a simple little tiny messenger. But the ultimate authority of God Almighty, which does not change, says it's wrong. Plain and simple, it's wrong. I have no right to change this word. I have no right to sugarcoat it. I have no right to make it go in a direction that it does not take me. Living like a married couple outside of God's command of covenant marriage is wrong in the eyes of God. That's just what the word says. It hurts the couple and it grieves God. That's what the word says. That relationship is outside of love in the way God intended us for love to one another as a man and a woman. There's the word. I'm the messenger. If we move on, Scripture, St. Paul lists several other ways that we walk in the flesh. He uses the word uncleanness. Now, I know as you follow along, you might have a different translation, New King James, New International, whatever your translation might be. These words are going to shift around, but they mean the same thing. In the King James Version, the words are uncleanness. That's filth that's in your heart and in your mind. And believe me, there are lots of outlets in American society that feed filth in our hearts and minds. I believe that TV more and more and more these days are feeding filth in our hearts and minds. And across America, that's true. Lasciviousness, that is an appetite to satisfy every passing desire you have with no shame, no guilt. I will do what I want to do. Idolatry is worshiping things instead of worshiping God. In the Bible's proper order, we're supposed to worship God and love people and use things. That's the Bible's order. Worship God, love people, use things. But people have it all messed up in the flesh. People mess up God's order, and the order becomes forget God, use people, and love things. So the order is reversed. Paul also mentions witchcraft. Now, of course, that is Satan worship, demon worship, but the word here for witchcraft in Greek is pharmakeia. And, of course, linked to the word pharmacy, drug usage outside of the use of medicine. And, of course, you know that that, too, is rampant in our society. He also lists other problems of the flesh, hatred of others, variance, that means you're constantly struggling with somebody over something. Emulations, what is that? I had to look that one up. That's jealousy, just plain old jealousy. Wrath, uncontrolled anger or rage. Strife, always in conflict with someone, always in strife with someone, arguing about something. Seditions and heresies, that's following Satan's lies and walking away from God as you do that. Envy, you know what that is? Wanting what someone else has. The Bible also calls it covetousness. Envying someone else and what they have. And wanting what they have. Murder. Drunkenness. A party spirit. All of those things walking in the flesh. Let me ask you this. Looking at this list, as we look at our relationships with people, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is our desire, is our heart that we make a good impression on others because Christ is our Savior? Do others simply, according to the old hymn that I love, do others see Jesus in me? Ask that question of yourself. Do others see Jesus in us? Do others see His love in us? Because Paul says if you're living in these fleshly desires, no one sees Jesus anywhere in you. Let others see Jesus in me. I'm going to live by a higher standard. I'm going to live under the banner of love of my Savior. It's an attitude that needs to permeate all of our social interaction, from the family to the church to the work world. Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see me walking with Christ. And I don't mean a walk with Christ that you pat yourself on the back as you go down the road, but rather just simply you want to live for Him, and that lifestyle is going to show, because Jesus will reach through you to touch other people. It's just a lifestyle that we want to walk with Christ. It puts love above the flesh. It puts walking with Him as most important. And here's Paul's summation of living in the flesh. Here's Paul's summation of rejecting God, choosing your own will, living in your own way, walking in your own path, not caring what God wants. The summation of it all is in verse 21. And I can tell you this, the world does not want to hear this verse. But here it is, verse 21, chapter 5 of Galatians. Look at the last part. As I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty open statement, isn't it? It sets a standard. There's no variance in it. There's no gray area in it. It's a black and white statement. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I believe the most elementary Bible student can tell you there's only one other place that they can inherit. If they don't inherit the kingdom of God, what will they inherit? The kingdom of hell. The one of two roads. It's as starkly simple here as it could be. Believers knowing Jesus in a personal relationship means that we strive every day to walk away from this stuff and walk with and toward the Savior and the purpose that He has for our lives, the plan that He has for you and me to live out, a plan that I believe that was born with us, but we can't live it until we know Jesus as our Savior, the one who died on a cross for you and for me. In this flesh, even as a saved person, we'll never be perfect. If you're looking for a perfect preacher, you better kick me out of this pulpit. We'll never be perfect. Living in this flesh, we cannot be perfect. The Bible tells us that. But we want to strive for walking with Christ in a deeper way every single passing day of our life. We want to walk with Him. We want to live in Him. We want to be like Him. We want to speak like Him. We won't be perfect, but our desire is to honor Him in every step that we take. Praise God that when we fall, when we fail, and when we sin, He picks us up and He allows us back on the path again. Thousands and thousands of times He's picked me up, put me back on the path again. Our desire is not to live in the flesh, to live in the love of Christ. That's what we want in our lives. This passage cannot let any single person say, you know, I'm saved by grace in Jesus. I'm going to live in blatant sin. I'm going to walk in the flesh because He's forgiven me. I know I have forgiveness for all eternity, so I can live any way I want. And that is not God's will whatsoever for us. He doesn't want us walking in the flesh. He wants us walking with His Son in love and in growth every day. We have a responsibility as witnesses to live in Christ every single day. So if you're a believer living in one of these lifestyles, you're a believer, and somewhere this list has hit you, and probably something in this list hits every one of us. But if you're living directly opposed to the will of God, as we see it here in Galatians 5, then you need to get out of that. We need to get back to the Savior. We need to get back to walking with Him and walking the purpose and the plan that He has for us. We need to recommit our lives to living for Him and to walking with Him. Because here's the truth. Any believer who walks in the flesh will never have peace. You'll never be able to completely lay your head on the pillow at night and have complete peace if you're walking away from the Savior that's loving you and who has saved you. So maybe this is a call for someone here today to come back to the Savior who loves you, who has forgiven you, who wants you walking with Him and not away from Him. Come back. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son that left his father, got out there in the world, lived in the pigsty. Even though he was out there in the world, living away from his father, had spent his father's inheritance, had told his father he never wanted to see him again, I'm never coming home. Even out there in the pigsty, he was no less his father's son. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are no less your father's child. But he wants you to come home. He wants you back where you belong by his side. And today, if you've never come to Christ before, you've never given your heart to him, I'm not here to criticize you. I'm here to give you an invitation. I'm here to tell you that that same Jesus who died for me died for you. And he loves you. He took your sin upon his shoulders and he bore your punishment on the cross. And he wants you as his son or his daughter. And he will receive you as freely as he received me. Because the Bible says that no one will be turned away. You drink of the water of life, and you will not be turned away. The Word of God says Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is a risen, living Lord, so you will have eternal life. You simply need to put your faith and your trust in Him, and He will give you eternal life and forgiveness, and you begin living His plan and His purpose, beginning right here today. You know, a lot of people in this world say, and I'm almost done, but listen, a lot of people in this world say, I'm going to come to Christ or I'm going to get my life right with Christ one of these days. But I'm going to have to be better. I'm going to have to know the Bible better. I'm going to have to be stronger in a lot of areas of my life. But Jesus says, come now. Come today. Don't wait for a better day. Today is that day. Come now. If you've never received Him, I simply want you to know He's waiting for you right now. Believers, will we live walking with Christ? Will we live in love? Will we walk away from this stuff that we study? Now, next week, we're going to talk about the gifts that we have to serve Him. But will we stay away from the stuff that we see listed today and we will walk with Christ? I pray that you and I will rededicate our lives to walking in love. Church, home, whatever you need, Jesus meets us here. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, thank you for these precious moments. Thank you for this word, Lord. It is challenging. It is your truth. No preacher in the world has the right to sugarcoat or change your truth. It is here, and we are to not only study it, but we are to live it. I pray today, Father, for my brothers and sisters, and I am including myself in this group. If there are ways that we need to come back to the path, come back to living in love, getting away from some of this worldly stuff, whatever it is, Lord, help us rededicate our lives. Help us to say, Lord, I am going to walk in your path and none other. I pray that we believers will rededicate our lives to you. Lord, if there's one who has never come to Jesus as Savior, we're not here to criticize. We're not here to point fingers. We're not here to load on guilt on shoulders. None of that. We simply want to say, Jesus loves you. He loves you as much as He's loved anyone else in this sanctuary or in this world. He's loved you the way He's loved Billy Graham. There's no one in God's eyes and God's heart that's more important than you. So today, Lord, for that one who has never received Jesus, I pray that they will feel the warmth of the Spirit covering their heart and their mind and their lives as you call them to the Son of God who gave His life that they might be free. Bless us in this very, very important moment, I pray. Church, home, whatever the need, bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.